will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can we resist the gate of hell tonight? Can we resist that gate? That gate. Our sons, our daughters, they will serve the Lord. Can you resist the gate? That your river will flow through the veins of your church, that eternity will be seen, that the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. We hail you, O King of Kings, live forever. Let your dynasty be from generation to generation. Let your glory be upon every heart. Let your river flow and let the power of darkness be subdued. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll do Bible study for a few minutes. Turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 45, beginning from verse 15. That verse of scripture is a realization that the prophet stumbled upon, having dealt with God for a very long time. This kind of statement can only come from the lips of men that have rich experience of God. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 15. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. So, like I said, it came from the heart of a man that has rich experience in the things of God. In his dealings with God, he came to the discovery of the fact that God was such a God that hides himself. So, that's God's nature. If you are going to seek God and find God in 2020, it is needful for you to be equipped with this revelation that the prophet stumbled upon, that God was a God that hides himself. So if you are looking for someone that hides himself, then you must wear the mind to seek him out, because it is in his nature to conceal himself. Hallelujah. The things of God are not commonplace. The things of God are not on the surface. The things of God are not in the marketplace. You don't stumble upon them in the natural. Because by experience, Isaiah had said that our God happens to be a God that hides himself. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. If you are going to seek into the next strand of the mind of God, that is the wisdom by which your life should be orchestrated in a certain season, you will follow the old rugged procedure of seeking God out. Now, people believe that God would be more accessible if he were in a formula. And so the pastor tries as much as possible to present God as the father of keys. Key number one, key number two. But Isaiah said that the God that we serve, he hides himself. And even though our key holder is overburdened with keys, we've not yet found God. You can't find him on the mental level. May the Lord give you understanding. In the name of Jesus. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, you are going to see a prophet. A prophet that is discontented. And in that state, he wandered out of alignment and was displaced to a location that God did not want him to be. Are you with me? 1 Kings 19, we'll pick it up from verse 9. My text is in the book of Luke, my real text. But I'm just trying to lay a foundation. The God that hideth himself. How do you stumble upon a God that does what? He hides himself. This is Elijah. After the mighty victory that he had secured on Mount Carmel, and through his efforts, an entire nation had embraced revival. There was national repentance. Everybody acknowledged that God was the Lord. All kinds of weeping, all kinds of restoration was taking place because there was a bold prophet that was able to stand for God in the day where everyone was identifying with Baal. The administrative structure of the government of the day were functionaries and members of the Baal religion. And the priests of Baal were the ones that were given official portfolio, so much so that they sat at meat with the queen of the land and they ate every evening. So it means there was no space left for a true prophet of God in that system. And Elijah was that man that could herald the glory of God in a time where the system had embraced the devil. You see, it is easy to fight one man, but it's very difficult for you to fight a system. Because if you're going to fight a system, it doesn't take one day to entrench a system. It takes a process of time. It takes functionaries. It takes allegiances. It takes alliances to forge a system. A system had been forged in the name of the God called Baal. And the queen happens to be one of our high priestesses. It was in that day that the Elijah challenge took place. And Elijah came and proclaimed allegiance to God. Even though people wanted to choose God, they were afraid, because the structures were in the hands of the people that Satan was in partnership with. It was in that day on the Mount Carmel that Elijah called down fire as a proof of the fact that Jehovah was alive. Meanwhile, the contest on Carmel was a context that played into the gallery of the prophets of Baal, because in sacrificing to Baal, little children were cast into the fire. So prophets of Baal had the ability to actually invoke fire. So he said, we'll play your game. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. That was the day where Baal could no longer produce fire. And it became clear. It was like a cinema, because they were on Mount Carmel. And then Israel was in the valley of decision. So it was like a cinema. Anybody was watching an action film. And right there on the mountaintop, in the gaze of the entire nation, Elijah invoked fire from heaven. And the whole nation repented. The Lord, he is God. It was mass repentance, national repentance. If you check people in Zamfara, they were repenting. People in Katsina State, they were repenting. People in Koringa City were repenting. Hallelujah. It was national repentance. It was in the midst of that repentance, because the members of the high table in government were seated. It was in the midst of that. After Jezebel saw the humiliation that Elijah had brought to the venture of Baal in that land, she sent him a threat. That threat was what moved the prophet in fear, out of alignment. You that God answered your prayer and fire came down from heaven. The next day, Elijah was in despair. afraid of the threat of a woman whose priesthood was defeated on public television. And he wandered out of alignment. Came and hid himself in the cave after he had dropped his servant in his village, the place where he did a miracle, and they gave him a man as offering. And that man has been laboring with him all the time. In this day when fear came upon him, he traced the village again. And he surrendered the man. And walked a day's journey. So that if you don't have GPS, it's only GPS that can trace him. Because he surrendered the man in the evening, walked all night. He started the journey in the night. And by 24 hours, a day's journey, he arrived at Carmel. Now let me show you the activity of Carmel. Because you'll be expecting that as this man has labored, he proclaimed the law. But he was in alignment. He lost alignment. And he had wandered into the desert. When God came, the Lord said, Elijah, what are you doing here? That was the first question. You see, if you have walked with God for long, may you never suffer the tragedy that is associated with moving out of alignment. That God that is omnipotent, he will become scarce in the environment. The God through whose name you were able to manifest signs and wonders, you will not be able to discern his presence again. And then suddenly, the God that showed himself on Mount Carmel began to hide from Elijah. You know that thing that Isaiah said, thou indeed art a God that hideth thyself. It was experiential. And if you have never known that, you may not know what made the prophet to make that statement. Even for a man that advertised God yesterday on the mountain, he was looking for God, and God was not in view. And you know, Elijah has a rich experience with God. There were times where Elijah had seen God in the fire before. You know, he likes fire things. He's a man of fire. Anything that invokes fire, Elijah is there. But this time around, the Lord manifested fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. This was going to be an experience that was going to humble this man. Because everything he had known about God was boisterous. Everything he had known about God was loud. And so earthquake came. He said, yes, I understand that. It was loud, but God was not there. Fire came. It was loud. A wind blew. He said, yes, yes. But he was a God that hides himself. After all the things, all the manifestations that this prophet was used to came and passed, and he could not factor God in those manifestations. It's possible for you to still be doing miracles and God has left you a long time. It's possible for you to still be doing signs and wonders and God has left you a long time. If your objective is not God, you will find yourself, you will escape from alignment. God will give you the noise. And after you make the noise for 10 years, you will know that God was not in a boat. Because Jesus knows how to walk on water. Jesus. He can leave the boat and walk. he knows how to walk on water. He can leave you with the turbulence, leave you with the chaos, leave you with the anointing. And then he strolls out on water. And you will not be aware. And since Elijah wanted to look upon the Lord, the fire was a disappointment because God was not there. And for the first time in his ministry, he is seeing a God that has decided to hide himself. Now, you must know what Isaiah discovered for which he made that great statement, and how you deal, how you navigate around a God that has the tendency to hide himself from disclosure. First thing I need to say tonight is the first critical thing. When you are dealing with a God that hides himself, first critical thing is that you will soon find it when I go to my star scripture of the evening. God, I know you know the Lord, you've been working with him for many years, but I want to shock you that none of us knows how to know God. If God wants you not to meet him, he knows where to stay. You think that your prayer, you have been praying in tongues, and if you labor there, that you are entitled to an encounter if you have prayed for 4 hours. There's no almighty formula in seeking God. The first thing you need to know is that if God doesn't want to reveal himself, you cannot see him. None of us knows how to know God, except God decides to disclose himself. So there are times when you notice that God is hiding himself. Understand that your seeking has not ended. There was a time where I needed the voice of God desperately. It was a time when I was doing my youth service and I wanted to get the marching orders of God for the next phase of my life. And those days, the youth service had two batches. You had batch A and you had batch B. And it was very easy for you to take inventory of how many months you had left. But today we have stream 1, batch 2, batch A. So it's a terrible. You can't even take inventory now because you have streams and batches. But those days were batch A and batch B. So I was in batch A. The batch A people normally come in January and they finish in December. The batch B people normally come in July and finish the next year in June. So it was quite measurable. So since I was in batch A and I came for youth service, I had good intentions. I wanted to stumble upon the Lord to know what was his mind for the next phase of my life. Because when I finished the youth service, nobody will send me money anymore. In fact, they'll start expecting money from me. So the balance will shift. I needed to know what God was saying. So I began to fast. And I fasted and prayed for the first month. I was expecting God to come down like thunder. But unfortunately, he didn't show up. He didn't even flash, you know. Second month, I prayed again. Nothing happened. Third month, I was in fasting. Nothing happened. By the fourth month, I noticed that the belt hole I used to use was no longer relevant. So I had to make a few more belt holes so that the belt can still serve its purpose. By the fifth month, the Lord did not even pretend as if I was doing something. That's where people get depressed. You get depressed because of entitlement. You believe the Lord should show up. Meanwhile, Elijah is teaching you. He's a God that does what? That hides himself. He will only show up when he wants to show up. But your prayer, you know, is good. But he will come when he wants to come to acknowledge what you are doing. And if it happens to be that there's an expectation in terms of prayer and fasting that he needs from you for him to show up, he will wait until that mark is reached. And just in case you cannot furnish it, he will schedule you for another time. Many believers there are that are not ready to seek God. They are full of activity. Okay, now that you have not sought him, the past 3 years, what did you gain? So if you know that it's a waste of life for you not to have sought God, you humble yourself and remain there and you wait for him until he chooses to reveal himself. You cannot see him because Isaiah says he is what? A God. Now, Elijah had to learn this the hard way. He was a boisterous prophet. Anytime he shows up, there will be noise. It's either he releases fire to judge some people, or the wild wind of the Lord takes him away for a very long time. So the activities of God, the movements of God were around him. He was boisterous. He was very loud. And a day came, he had never experienced that dimension, where God was not in the fire, God was not in the wind, God was not in the earthquake, God was not in the normal places he used to find him. And when he was depressed and went back into the cave, then the Lord appeared when he wanted to appear, in the way he decided to appear. And that way, that day, was what? A still small voice. Somebody walked up to me after one of the meetings in the evening and said, "Pastor, I want to see visions." I said, "Dead on arrival. You missed it already." You don't tell God how he will come. You are suffering from the error of Elijah. How did he come in the case of Elijah? And he's still small. The thing about Elijah was that he could discern if God is there or not. So no matter the way God comes, if God eventually is not there, he would discern it. And even though the still small voice was not the way he was used to, at the end of his discernment exercise, he found out that what? God was there. That was a great lesson for the prophet. God, please help me tell your neighbor, God will come when he wants to come. But you must remember, he is a God that hides himself. That means it is normal. You are not preaching. That means it is what? It is normal for God not to show up. Foolish people will walk away. Keep preaching. And wise people will keep on seeking his face. Hallelujah. I want that statement. That statement was deliberate, so that you remember how many times you were foolish. You walked away because, you know, it is normal for him to. That's how he is. That he hid himself is his way. So if you know that that's how he is, it's not a sign of a bad thing. He's just being himself. Then it is now your own responsibility to what? To wait on him. When you know that you don't have control over his appearance, the next thing that the situation suggests is what? Wait on him. When you know that even if you cry, you finish crying, you clean your eyes, nothing happened, then you now make up your mind to do what? Wait. To wait on him. So the Bible says there that wait is because it's not everybody that is in the waiting business. Only there that what?
Wait.
That wait. So it's only the people that know that God hides himself that they now make themselves as such that what?
Wait.
In the seventh month, God did not show up in my fasting. And meanwhile, every week that I fasted, I will go. If I fast today, I will tick today. If I fast tomorrow, I will tick it. Tick. Fast on Wednesday, I tick. So the calendar was going, I was ticking. And then 5 months were done. 5 full months were ticked on the calendar. And I entered into a sixth month, and I began to tick. And the first week went, the second week went, the third week went. And then by the time I got to the seventh month, a wind of discouragement entered my soul. That wind of discouragement you normally feel, I came to tell you by experience, that is a wind that is kindled by the devil for you to find fault with God, not knowing that he is a God that hides himself. There are many times that you will walk away from him if you are not equipped with the knowledge that his nature is that he is a concealing God. And when you find a man that rises by God, is a man that has mastered the way of waiting. And the fact that God delays doesn't affect his conscience. No, it doesn't affect. Me, I know he will come. I know. But it's his right to decide to wait. It's his right to decide to conceal himself. That's his own due. You can't change it. That's his nature. But I will keep on waiting until he will come. Because he has only one weakness. Every spirit has a weakness. Even Jehovah. The Bible says that Jehovah cannot see a broken and a contrite heart. That kind of a heart, he can't despise it. That's his only weakness. You can come in the flesh. I have seen people that went for 7 days dry. They came back worse than they went. They came back in the flesh. They came back in the flesh. That man has gone farther away from God. The God of heaven will yet conceal himself for another 49 days from such a man until flesh bows. While he was doing the 7 days dry, he kept the clock and lamp by the side. Okay, one day has passed. Like I was before, I was marking the calendar. It was after 6 months I stopped marking. God will wait until your ability to mark calendar. You know what? He is not anxious. He's in control. You are the one that you are in trouble. So he is in charge. He's in charge. If he doesn't like something in your life, he will wait until you identify it. He will shed enough light for you to see your anger. Say, you will need to deal with this blockage. I'm willing to wait forever. You know, I'm in eternity. Time doesn't affect me. I'm the ancient of days. I'm good in old age. My Cosima. That discovery that Isaiah made is for waiting people. I found out, Isaiah said, that you are a God that does what? I stopped marking the calendar after 6 months. I got tired. Then I continued my fast without records. Time just slipped by and I did not acknowledge it. Yes. It means you are not conscious of how much you are spending. All you are conscious of is when will you come? So you know why God likes worship. Worship is one of the few things that makes you forget yourself. Because when you come, your bank account comes with you. When you come, your Lexus came with you. When you come, your PhD, the one you got from Kwarapooli, you brought it. Hallelujah.
And even when the preacher say, greet your neighbor, as he greets you, he say, you know, I just got a PhD just now.
About the degree.
Glory to God. So we come with all those things. It's only during worship session that we are tempted to leave all those things behind and focus. That's, for many people, that's the only window that God has to impregnate you with something that is outside of the box, so that your eyes will look upon things that are not within your estate, and you will see a beauty that is in Christ Jesus, which is more beautiful than anything that you have ever pursued, so that God can take you out of the things you own that owns you, until you come to the place where you see the thing and the one that owns you that you need to look upon as your unique goal. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of heart dispositions that God cannot endure, for which he will need to hide himself so far. Many times we come rotting because of the things that we sustain as our emphasis. And God will need to purge you from those things. And the way he does it is that he uses the therapy of time. Time can weaken the strength of the flesh. Time can weaken the power of ego. Time can weaken the zeal that is tied to ambition. And when nothing makes sense again, then in the still small voice, he will not even come in a majestic way. He will come in a way that is even subject to doubt. Thou, Isaiah says, art a God that is thyself. John chapter 20 from verse 1 to 16. You will need some form of experience. You will need to hear testimonies from experienced people. People that know the corridor of seeking God, for you to have courage to walk through the pavilion to look upon his beauty. That guy that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And then when God told him, when Jesus told him, sell everything you have, come follow me. You will see Jesus' perspective. The Bible says that the man went away sad because he had great possessions. No, he didn't have great possessions. Great possessions had him. That was the problem. The issue in that scripture is ownership. Have you ever heard that word Adonai? It means master. When last did you say that? Adonai. And Jesus wanted the things that owned him to be put aside. He wanted him to be light, so that there will be no focus other than himself. And then he said, when you have done that, come and follow me. Those are the things to expect when you want to seek God. Those heavy weights you have carried, and those heavy things that are on the way. He will use time to weary you. He will weary your heart until those things fall off. And then when there's nothing left and you are still seeking, it means you have transcended beyond the mundane level. And then he will now come the way he chooses. And most often, he comes in a still small voice. In the book of John chapter 20, please, media people, help me and press for time. There's too much fire in this place. There's fire in this place. Oh my. My own new year started yesterday. Yeah, my new year. You know how I know a month has started? It is when the Holy Spirit, he comes out. I know when he comes out. Since the 1st of January, I've been waiting for him to come out of the door. Didn't come out. Because when he comes out of my heart, when he's at the door, I feel a fire here. Not a burning one, a mild fire. It means he has come out of the door. He wants to look through the door. He wants to look through the window. That's when the power of vision is given to me. When Jesus stands at the door of my heart. You know the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yeah. So when he stands at the door, then my new year has started. So my new year started yesterday. Do you know him? Do you know him? I've seen someone that is a theological teacher. He's a PhD holder in theology. But he's a chain smoker. He even smokes during lecture. But he's an expert in the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is a Christian map. It's a story. It's a document that captures the path of spiritual progress. If it is true that you are born again and your eyes see the book of Romans, you'll be slave to Jesus forever. That's his specialty.
But even though he knows the letters, he has never encountered the spirit that gave birth to those letters. And because of that, he's still in bondage. If you go beyond the letters, you will be free. You will be free. I pray that we will all be free. You know when you are truly free? If you want to test your level of freedom, try to begin to seek God. If there is nothing that holds your soul back, because your bank account will rise up. Every idol that is around your life will begin to speak, begin to shake, begin to shake, begin. Noise will come upon your soul instantly. So he will hide himself, because there are too many things speaking. If he shows up, you will not know. He will hide himself until your soul becomes quiet. That's why we normally subscribe to dry fasting. It's a very good way of quieting your soul. When there's no food in your body, then there's weakness. Even the power that drives the soul will become slow. And then you have appetite for nothing again. Just like a woman that is in the ward, that is under labor, about to give birth. If you bring lace from Japan lace and give her in that moment, she'll cast it away. There's only one thing that she is conscious of. It's an involuntary activity called what? Labor. May the Lord give you understanding. The other day, a young man ran to me. And he said, I want to marry. I said, this is a good design. I said, I like this kind of talk. Hallelujah. Then he told me he needs a lanky lady. A lanky. You know what? The Lord will hide himself from you. Because in the journey of the will of God, there is nothing like good or bad or fair or short. In that journey, there is only one thing, and that thing is called the will of God. It's called what? If you can still see Igbo, that we need Enugu Igbo, not even the one from Uma here. If you can still see geographical location, you are far away. He has hid from you. Because when you come out and you look upon the real things, you will not see colors, you will not see heights, you will not see tribe, you will not see geography. All you will see is what? Is the will of God. And so when God wants to help a man so that man can truly see him, he uses time as the therapy, and he hides himself until you die to Abia Uma here, you die to Imo, and then what he shows you no longer carries all those affiliations. You see it as what? The will of God. Because the person's height challenge will not be solved. It will never be solved. That height you were hoping that the thing should. Only 2 more inches would have been good enough. It will never be solved. That complexion, just in case it changes and become fair, it is by bleaching cream. And if the person delays for 2 weeks in applying it, you will have a darker tone than the original one. What you see is what? The will of God. John chapter 20, quickly. John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre to seek the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Next verse, please. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. This woman was loyal to Jesus when he was alive. She was loyal to Jesus when he died. Her loyalty, death did not take away her loyalty. And she was trying, media people, just leave the scripture. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in the place by itself. Now we'll look at this scripture during Easter. That the napkin. We'll look at that napkin. We will try to understand the meaning of the position and the meaning of the way the napkin was folded. We'll look at that during Easter. Okay, go on. Then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Who told you that God will not reserve a most choice position in the end time revival for women? Who told you? The first women around the apostolic story, they paid a price that are pedestal women on the heart of God. The guys came, looked at the sepulchre, did an examination, and went to their own home. The woman that came to give them the information that the body was not there, that means she saw the situation before she went and told them, and then they came to inspect, and then they left, and that woman still remained. And she was weeping. It's not as if she could do anything about the situation. But you could see the depth of loyalty that this woman had. And whenever we teach the sisters, and we teach about the story of Jesus, and the place of sisters, they are the loving ones. But today, how much love is in your heart for Jesus? The sisters were the loving ones. They loved him deeply. How much do sisters love God today? Well, that's for another day. Give me my scripture. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And she wept and stood down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels. The thing that she now saw at this point, the people that came for inspection did not see. When she wept, and when she looked, her weeping had to stop. Because she saw the image of two entities. Two angels were inside that place. They concealed their presence to the other guys that came for inspection. Don't worry. Which month will we dedicate for revival? We'll dedicate 1 month for revival to teach about revival and celebrate it. That is the month that people's eyes will be open. We'll be teaching like this. Just like she looked into the sepulchre and then she discerned. Your eyes will be open. In the name of Jesus. See two angels in white sitting. The one at the head and the other one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Next verse. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Next verse says, And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now this is the woman so heavily burdened about the fact that they have taken away her master. It did not occur to her that he rose. So that was not in the picture. Her heart was sealed to that understanding. And so even though she saw the angels, she knew that they were not normal kind of creatures. But it didn't yet occur to her that Jesus was risen. And the woman said, why are you weeping? The angels told the woman, why are you weeping? Because the situation on ground here calls for rejoicing. This is hardly the emotion that is expected at this time. But she was still totally devoid of understanding. And then she decided, she felt as if there was life behind her. You know that feeling you have, all right? And she turned to look and she saw Jesus. But you know what? Jesus had manifested in the form that she could not recognize him. He hid himself from her, even from loving ones. This monarch, he will hide himself. He wanted to see the depth of her love for him. So he came and manifested as if he was a passerby. She could not discern that it was Jesus. Do you realize that at that time Jesus did not want to reveal himself to her? So even though she was crying, she was doing the right thing. She was looking for Jesus. She was shaking. She was weeping. She was doing all the things we normally do when we want to seek the face of God. But you see, except God wants to reveal himself to you, your attempts cannot be good enough to deserve a response. He was standing there, but her ability to discern him was taken away from her. And she wept. In fact, she made a statement. I'd like you to see that statement. So the first thing I wrote in my script here is that a spiritual disclosure depends on his willingness. His willingness is not whether you are willing. It's about him willing. Do you remember that guy that was brought someone for prayer? And he said, if you will, you can make this one well. If you will, you can show yourself. If you will, hallelujah. Now, so my question is this. In seeking the face of God, what are the things you can do to make him will? Because he's dependent on his own willingness. If not, he will manifest in a way that will hide him. He's there, but he will not give you the capacity to understand the things you need to understand. Like in our own case, he could not understand that he had risen. Her heart was closed to it. It is only if he puts that understanding in her that she can understand it. And because that understanding was not there, her eyes were totally concealed. And when she saw Jesus, she even asked Jesus, are you the one that took him? It is possible for you to accuse the one that came to bring you salvation just because the eyes of your understanding are not enlightened. Do you realize now why Paul says, I pray for you. Why am I praying for you? That the eyes. So the next time you have a mighty prophetic disclosure, it's not because you are a great man of God. It's just because he had mercy and decided to what? To enlighten. So after every time you move in the power of God, after every time you move in the prophetic grace, every time you move in a stream that blesses people, you go back to your closet and say, hey, you agreed today. You were willing today. Thank him for his being willing. Because if he was not willing, nothing will happen. So first of all, in seeking God, you must understand that your entering into that economy of God's disclosure is dependent on his willingness to unveil himself. So it means, therefore, that none of us knows how to know God. And that's why the prescription for everyone that wants to stumble on God is wait upon the Lord. That's the best you can do. And then it is when he becomes willing that he does what? That he shows himself. If people give you a name in ministry, don't accept it. If they call you the healer, don't accept it. If they call you, many of you, except they address you properly as the one with the ballistic missile, you will not come out of the vehicle. You'll be waiting for the right name to invoke the virtues. Ba, 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 ba. If they have not mentioned that name, you won't. Like there was a man. They mentioned all his titles. The only one they forgot is JP. JP. Hey, they forgot to add what? JP. He became the object of a great crisis. He rebuked all the people that came to him. That's a man that has lost his context. Because the great monarch will only manifest himself if he is willing.
Can you still go?
Okay, you can't go again. Hallelujah.
So let me introduce my real scripture. My real scripture is in the book of Luke, chapter 13. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 32. I hope I can do the long reading. Okay, in order for me to teach properly, who is a good reader here? Where's the other microphone? Where's the other microphone? Give this my sister from Calabar. Okay, you can help me out. Luke chapter 24 from verse 13. Now, read it like the word of God so that we can be breaking it as we are going on.
And behold.
And behold.
Two of them went that same day.
Two of them went that same day.
To a village called Emmaus.
To a village called Emmaus.
Which was from Jerusalem.
Which was from Jerusalem.
About 70 furlongs.
70 furlongs.
And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them.
While they communed together, while they reasoned, Jesus did what? Do you realize that, are you here? When you seek God, when you are seeking him, most of the time it's not the time you are praying in tongues, he shows up. When you take a break to reason, then he enters into your thoughts. Yes, that's when God becomes like a river that flows. Then he flows into your thoughts. And then he begins to empower his thoughts so that you begin to think his thoughts. He causes you to think outside of the box. He takes you away from your own context and he allows you to flow into his own mind. Then you begin to think his thoughts. Then he empowers his thoughts to be sustained upon your heart. It was while they reasoned, they were gisting, gossiping, they even lied. He didn't show up. But while they what? Reason. Many of you speak in tongues for 4 hours. You don't have time to reason. Babo! Then, share the grace. Amen! He has gone. He's out of sight. God is out of the radar. But he doesn't know. That is while he begins to what? To reason. God begins to navigate into. You see, I know you are expecting an angel to come and stand on the right leg and say, Talitha Kumi! You will wait for a long time. Please help me tell your neighbor. Help me preach to your neighbor. Hallelujah. Help me preach to your neighbor. Say, don't look for the spectacular. Look for the supernatural. Now, this is how the supernatural is. The supernatural looks like natural. But it doesn't have a source in natural. Many times when I get a word of knowledge, I test it before I present it. I say, okay, was I thinking about this thing before it dropped? If I wasn't thinking about it and it just dropped, then I know it's a word of knowledge. Because it is natural, because it's a thought. But I wasn't thinking about it, so it didn't come from me. It was the super what? So the Bible says why they were reasoning. It was their own reasoning. And then he joined them. To take them beyond their reasoning. To take them beyond their own articulation. To take them beyond the things they have learned, the things they were taught, the things they knew, the things they observed, the things they experienced. He takes them beyond it into his own context. It was while they were what? Reasoning. I found that these are my own personal, it's not a standard, it's an experience. I found that if I prayed for long and I want to hear God, I leave the quiet place. I can't hear him in the quiet place. That's not you, that's me. I want to move to a noisy place. Those days in Lagos, there was a place called Orile. Orile. You will see all kinds of vehicles with passengers almost kidnapping you to enter their vehicle. When all those horns are blaring and I'm there.
there will be enough distraction so that if he breaks through that distraction, I know he said, while they reasoned, he did what? He joined himself to them. Yes, go on, sister.
But their eyes were holding.
Sister Gift, when you finish praying, take some time to reason. If you don't operate that way, you are going to follow the counsel of men and not the counsel of God. It's very easy for you to be manipulated. But if a man is going to be strong in the spirit, he needs to know the manifestations of the God that hides himself. He doesn't come loud most of the time. When you see that Paul was saved on the way to Damascus and it was a great light that came upon him, that's spectacular. God, spectacular is a rarity in God. The base, the platform of God's operation is the supernatural. He does something that is not, that is within the context, but the way the thing came was not by man. It is supernatural, not necessarily spectacular. For those of you that have had spectacular experiences, you are not likely to have more than 5 spectacular experiences in your lifetime. Because I studied the Bible to see how many spectacular experiences Paul had. It was only one. So that's a rarity. And you cannot build your Christian life on a rarity. The most terrible thing that happened to the church is that a group of young people rose up and they began to present the spectacular as the ideal. One came and brought a feather and said, while he was praying, this feather appeared. I knew that the sons of Belial, they have visited our generation again. A presentation of the spectacular as the norm. We should look to the spectacular. It was a journey beyond the regions that grace can support. Every time the spectacular took place, it was not by the faith of men. It was by the sovereignty of God. When you hear that Philip was taken from that place where he baptized the eunuch and was found in the regions of Azotus, it was not because he prayed in Chinese tongue. It was not because he prayed in capital letters in tongue. It was because of God's sovereignty. God sovereignly decided to take him from that baptismal site to the city of Azotus. It was not an act of faith. It was not an expectation. Are you with me? During night vigil, one day, a brother closed his eyes and began to pray. And he didn't know. He walked through the wall. He came out of the wall. He walked through the wall 3 times. It was the people that were praying with him that now told him, "Oga, you walk through this wall." And then he became loud in the spirit, trying to walk through it. They had to help him with Rob here. Please help me tell your neighbor, it's not by power. It's not by might. Don't look for the spectacular. Look for the supernatural. Help me preach. Don't look for the spectacular. Some Christians, they were the ones that inherited the ministry of the missionaries that brought the gospel to their village. And during the labors of that man, the man built a small church, a lighthouse in the heart of the city. And it came to pass about 35 years later, the government wanted to make a road through that city. And the people, the surveyors with their theodolites, when they came through the environment, it was where the church was standing. They said the road has to pass. You see, you don't understand. The road is in the midst of a vast land. When they were manipulating the theodolite like this, it was where the church was standing that they said, this is the original place where the road is. They went to the government, complained. The government said, no, that's how it's going to happen. And then these guys were praying in the night, and the Lord spoke. And the Lord said they should march to the place where the building was and don't look back. And they marched there. And when they got there, they began to speak in tongues. And the Lord said they should put their hands on the building and they should push it. As they were praying in tongues, they were pushing the building. The building began to move. So they took the building to the last end of the land. The next day, when the people came with their theodolite and their the building was at the other end of the field. Don't look for the spectacular. Look for the supernatural. The sons of Belial, they have gone out. One said that angels switch on his generator for him. Angels lock his gate. He should be arrested and jailed in the dungeon. Because that's what he thinks angels do. Well, Paul says concerning revelations, I will not say. What I know about angels is not this night, I will say it. Paul felt it was, there was nothing to boast about revelations. But if you have had some encounters, you will know when men lie. When men that have never been there, when they talk, you will know. We are not boasting. I don't need to do something to show you where I have been. No. Rank is not visible in the natural. It's not visible. It's not visible in the natural. Yes, sister. Go on.
But their eyes were holding that they should not know him.
Now, this God that hides himself, he has joined himself to them. But what did he do? He ensured that there was a veil. So it means that God can restrain you from inside. There's a scripture that God can keep closed for 1,000 years. Don't you understand what men like Paul said? He said, these things has God revealed to his holy apostles and prophets at this time. That means the revelation existed. But he concealed the hearts of all the prophets until the first generation of apostles came. And what was that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. I pray that God will have mercy and that God will open unto you the vistas of heaven. What makes a man mighty are the things that God allows him to encounter. Oh, may the Lord step out of his glory and come to your bedroom and show you great and mighty things that you do not know, in the name of Jesus Christ.
And he said,
you are reading fast. Because when I mentioned that, God was excited. And he actually started opening. When you finish fasting and praying, and you stand at the pulpit because you were invited, don't stand in your prayer. Don't stand in your fasting. As you stand there in your heart, tell God, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Just be saying that at the background. They might be hailing you, the great man of God. Don't hear that. Have mercy. Because if he's not willing, you'll be dry. You'll be wearing first class London, but you'll be dry in the suit. And a time will come when your look inside that suit, the suit, your problem will become that suit. If it doesn't show up, people that know how to seek him, if it doesn't show up, you know that's the worst day you can ever have. So when they hail you, when they line up and they are saying the man of God, the usher, the protocol, don't come down. Don't come down there. Tell them, move first. All of you, move out. Don't give anybody an opportunity to celebrate you in the flesh. They don't know you. The real you was the one that went to the cave, shaking, looking for God's help. The man they are celebrating is the handsome man that is coming down. They don't understand where you are coming from. Don't allow them become a problem between you and the one that you sought with mercy. You sought with diligence. That's how I came to Lokoja. They said the great prophet. See the usher. They were willing to slap. Hey, came out. Move. Guy. I told them that you are almost driving God. You are almost. I will not come down until all of you go back. Go back to where you came from. So when they now left, I now beg God. Because I prayed so much before I came there, they wanted to lick me out. If it's somebody like you, just come and say. That's what we do. That's what we do. I drove all of them. Then the reverend now came. The reverend now came. Hey, you boys, you. I said, Reverend, don't drive God. Don't drive God. Don't drive God. Let's be quiet. He was wondering what kind of man until I mounted the podium. That God that I honored. That God came. That God came. That God came. He came so powerfully that the reverend had to repent. Not because of, I don't know what he saw that he repented. But that God came down. He came. I had to escape from there. I had to escape. Because he came. There was nothing that you could hide. Those were the days where I could peep upon men and know their thoughts. That there are times like that the thing is strong like that. Before I went to the pulpit, I touched the reverend and told him about his wife, the condition. And I see it. That was when the man knew why I was doing that thing. He wanted to drive it so that the normal one will happen. May the knowledge of the fact that God is all in all, may it hit your heart and remain as a revelation. That you will possess as much as your own beating heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, go on, sister.
And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk?
I need to tell you something. When Jesus begins to ask you a question in your discussion with him, don't be quick to answer. My father in the Lord, he called me. He said there was a time that Jesus asked him a question. And what was the question? He said, if you are not general overseer, will you be discommitted to me? He told me the question that Jesus gave him. So I went back and sat down and asked myself, if I were in Chief Doan's position, will I be discommitted? You know, that question lasted for 2 years. Then the things, are you with me? I was doing as a pioneer, which was not in keeping with that question, I had to adjust. It was not me God asked. Who did he ask? My father. If he asked my father, it means all the priests that are in that lineage of priesthood, God is asking all of them. Are you with me? God doesn't need to ask another person. If he asks that man, he's asking me. It took me 2 years to adjust for many things. Many more people will die in the name of General Basia. People that were not faithful under other people. Alright? They were never faithful. One of our pastors those days came to me and said, I'm becoming old. When will I do my own? I said, sorry. I forgot that you needed to be released. So we released him. So that he can do his own. Do you know? God has placement in his kingdom. Yeah. I did not start out with the intention to be a pioneer. No. I saw the way my pastor suffered. Because if somebody dies under him, it is his fault. If somebody cannot feed under him, I said, no, this is not. It's better for me to be under this man. My challenges will be few. Yes. Hey, you can sleep now. You can look for chicken on the road. You see chicken, you like it. But there's a level of cross you can bear. Even when you see chicken, you can't desire it. Because you're already going for the slaughter. If you see a woman, she can't be beautiful to you. Because the cross you are carrying means you don't have time. Where you are going is for the slaughter. If you understand what it means to carry your cross. You have cross on your back, you can kiss first. You kiss woman. You are not carrying any cross. It's not cross, Jacob. Because any man carrying a cross has a death sentence. It's only time he will be slaughtered. When they build a new house and show him, he can't look upon it. There is something God does to you when he gives you a commission and makes you a set man. He will kill some things inside. It took me 5 years for those things to die. I felt that death came without anesthesia. The strands will die while you are still alive and conscious. If you like, God made you to be number two. You say you are going to pioneer. You have left the place where ravens, will, the address they gave the raven to feed you. You will die in the desert. And they won't be able to find your tombstone to put cross. Because you are wandered out of supply. Let me tell you very well. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 7. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 12. I started intercession early in life. I started moving in power 22 years ago. People were falling in my ministry. If I sing, they will fall down. I was on campus when the power of God came upon me. I was very powerful on campus. For those, I think Shala can still remember me. I was very powerful. But you know what? After God gave the power, then he now said I should wait for him. Do you understand? How will you give somebody power, highly combustible ability? Highly inflammable. Then he tells you what? And that waiting is not 5 days, for 22 years, until every ambition dies. Then I could not see the kingdom where he said, now I will take you to the nations. Meanwhile, somebody that in your service, somebody had malaria, that's why the person fell. He was weak, he had not eaten. Then you print a postcard and say, international, better international. It was malaria. years. I paid some prices so I can talk now. When Jesus asks you a question, don't be in a hurry to answer. If you are not general overseer, will you serve me like this? It took 2 years. You know what? Your younger sisters, even the people you pastor, are afraid to talk to you. But you know what? Jesus is not afraid. So when you are finished hearing people, make sure you can still hear Jesus. Because he's the one that will tell you that, oh, the only thing I saw today was suit. There was nothing on you. You know your member can't tell you that. But Jesus will tell you. So if you stop hearing everybody, don't stop hearing Jesus. Yes, sister.
As ye walk and are sad, and one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem?
Are thou only a stranger? Because many times when God is talking, your situations are more real than what God is saying. You are reading the word of God, it's like fables. Because there's a real witch, a real devil out there to destroy you. So you can no longer believe in scripture. Anything that makes you doubt scripture
because that thing has proven to you to be superior. You are more conscious to it. You have brought yourself to a place where God cannot help you. Because the greatest manifestation of God is in his word. They were asking Jesus if he was a stranger. He doesn't understand the context. And when you come for counsel, he say, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't. Yes, sister. Quickly.
And has not known the things which are come to pass during these days. And he said unto them,
What things?
And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people.
Meanwhile, that was their perspective about Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, who was what? A prophet. Now, I don't have time to work. Let's leave that. Another day, we'll start from here. Because I need to clarify that statement. Jesus of Nazareth, who was what? A prophet. So their perception of Jesus was that he was what? Now, I would have taken you to the book of John chapter 4. And I would have shown you the discussion of Jesus with the woman at the well. The extent to which Jesus could give her was dependent on her perception of her, of him. When he showed up the first time, the woman called him a Jew. And meanwhile, those days, Jews and Samaritans did not have dealings. So what he perceived about Jesus was that he was what? Jew. Until Jesus now asked her to go and bring her husband. And the woman said she has no husband. Then Jesus said, you have rightly spoken. Meaning, you used to lie too much. But this time, you spoke the truth. You have had 5 husbands. And the man that is with you now is not your husband. They paid your bride price 5 times. And then after paying, and you snap pictures 5 times, you say, no, you are not going to put it on Facebook anymore. You just moved in. Hallelujah. Then the woman now, her perception changed. Say, it seems you are a prophet. Hallelujah. But the revelation of Jesus as a prophet was not sufficient to give her salvation. That well that Jesus was digging, she had to still dig more, even when she arrived prophet, until she perceived him as Messiah. He brought a revelation and told her that the time has come and now is, where neither in this mountain you are recommending, or in Jerusalem with people worship. But the time has come where the true worshippers worship God in spirit and in truth. She said, God, this revelation is too much. When the Messiah comes, he will teach us. He said, this one that is speaking to you, I am he. Then he could give her the living water. And that was the water she took to her city. And everybody she told about Jesus believed. She became the first female evangelist. At the end of the day, in the evening time, she had gone around the city and all the men came to look for Jesus. So the fact that these guys perceived him to be a prophet was not the revelation that would give them what Jesus wanted to offer. The perception was laudable. The perception was huge, but it was not sufficient to create the potential difference required for a flow of life. A great prophet, they saw. That was their own perception. How I wish they allowed Jesus to introduce himself. Go on, sister. We are reaching my scripture.
Indeed, and world before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel.
We trusted. He manifested up this, all the signs to be Messiah. They didn't accept him. Meanwhile, that's the revelation that will create the potential difference. We believed. Because in that death, they saw the end. We were believing that he will rise. He will give muscle to all the words of the prophets. We trusted. We trusted. It was as if as their statement was capturing some hope. The hope that was in the hearts of men died upon arrival. Because the high priest delivered him to be killed. Yes?
And beside all this.
Besides all this.
Today is the third day.
Today happens to be the third day.
Go on there. Go.
Since these things were done,
mm.
yea, and certain women also.
Certain women. That woman was the chief among the women that began. That woman. He said, we heard whispers from women. But you see, those are women talk. The key to the entrance into the revelation. They say because it came from women. It's women talk. Certain women. Kai. We're hoping that an announcement will be made on the street by the town crier. Then we'll know that. But women. Women, God will give a message to women in this time. Ooh, he will give a message. A message. They will herald something about Jesus again. Jesus will disclose something of himself to women in this time. I have seen the glory of God. I have seen that glory descend on certain women. And they will herald his kingdom, his power, and his glory. Yes, go on finally. Go on finally.
Also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre.
So he said all the things the women said, what it could do was to just make them astonished. It was not worthy of believing. He made us. We're astonished. Go on there.
And when they found not his body.
They found not his body.
They came saying.
Came saying.
That they had also seen a vision of angels. Which said that he was alive.
Do you see how they perverted that woman's experience? The woman was not vision she saw. She saw literal angels. But these people now, the story had gone through mutation. And what was left was that it was a vision. May you not be somebody that will be playing the relay of the revelation. May you be the one to pick it up in the name of Jesus. The revelation will lose its substance when the second participant captures it. He will add something to it that will make it more difficult to believe. May you be the one to see it. In the name of Jesus. Yes?
Certain of them. Which were with us went to the sepulchre.
They went to the sepulchre.
And found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them,
Fools.
And slow of heart to believe.
All that the prophets have spoken.
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them.
Jesus needed Bible study. He said, All right. Do you have your Bible? Then he started from Moses and then began to expound unto them. Yes, go on.
All the scriptures. The things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further.
The God that will hide himself. That it is the village he was going to. But he pretended as if his journey was yonder. And then, what did they do?
But they constrained him,
now,
saying.
See, Jesus will go. Even if you are fasting, he will go. Except you constrain. Stay. I prepared a song, a worship. You must know how to entertain him. Yes. I may not know too many things, but what I know is how to entertain Jesus so that he will camp with me. Alright. So that he will not visit you. You stop at my side and his journey has ended. They beckon. If truly you can show him your helplessness, he will stay. They beckon. When last did you beckon? We will all die if you walk away. We will all be led astray if you walk away. It's me. This is me. That's how I pray. There will be nothing left if you walk away. If you show him that you really need him, he will stop by. Many men died because they lost the ability to beckon on him. To stay. Read.
Abide with us.
Abide with us.
For it is toward evening.
It is toward evening.
And the day is far spent.
Day is far spent.
And he went in to tarry with them.
He went in to tarry with them.
And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it. And break and gave to
them.
When
he broke the bread, he gave it to them.
And their eyes were opened.
Instantly, their eyes were opened. Now, this night is not for breaking of bread. This night, let's forget that breaking of bread. I will come back there. There are two things I said I will come back. That's the next lecture. And the title of this message is the God that hides himself. So we'll leave that bread. Because I need to do it very well. Listen to me. The Bible says that when he break bread, their eyes were open. Then what happened?
And they knew him.
They knew him in their heart. Then what happened?
And he vanished out
because
of their sight.
Because they knew him in their heart, there was no need for him to be in their sight again. The journey is from your sight to your heart. If he reaches there, that's where you know him. He will vanish from your sight. But the image on your heart will last forever. You will no longer see him in a room. But that garment with which he came, it will last forever in your heart. And the next time when you see a dead man lying dead flat, and that image rises from your inside, you will know that he lives much more than the one that dies. That's how you have faith to release life on the dead. When you see his cancer, he looks so strange, then he rises from inside. That image will never leave you. It will be the source of your faith. Faith that people cannot understand will spring from that encounter. They knew him in their heart. Pastor Tony, whenever you find yourself in the conference, maybe they have 12 preachers and they give all of you 12 minutes. Don't think of the sermon to preach. The only thing you need to remember is, what did Jesus give you? Just know what he gave you. I know what he gave me. Huh? You can't do what he did not give you. If you see somebody minister and you come and you lose balance and try to copy him, it means you have nothing. Don't think of a message to preach. Remember what he gave you. It's in your heart. If you remember it, a unique expression of God will come out of your fountain that only you can give to your generation. No one else can preach your sermon. No one else can sing your song. No one else can do the things that God has called you to do. Yes.
And they said one to another.
So that's my message. This statement now. They said one. This is experiential. Because the God of the Bible is a God that you will know experientially, not doctrinally. It's when you have had the experience that you can understand the doctrine. Your eyes will be open to the teaching when the experience has been furnished. You will now find scriptures that actually testify about the experience that you have had. And when you testify of those scriptures, from the standpoint of the grace you have contacted from your experience, you will look like an original expositor, as if that scripture is your own, because you have a first-hand experience of their testimony. So these guys are trying to give us an experiential perspective, and they mention two things. The first thing is what?
Did not our heart burn within us?
The first experience of Christ, which every believer will have if you have an encounter with God, is that he manifests as a judging lamp. Our hearts did what?
Burned within us.
It burned. The Christ, the judging lamp. So, the next lecture we come for, we are going to expound upon Christ, the judging lamp. Him that makes the heart of men to burn. When last did your heart burn? You received the word of the Lord, and it was like fire inside. It was burning. Make no mistake, that's Jesus. Because if he opens the scriptures to you, your heart will what? Will burn. So the first experience of God, when he decides to uncover himself from his hiding place, is that he manifests as a judging lamp, and he causes the hearts of men to burn. My Copala.
I remember I was on my knees when God says stand up. That's the first time God discharged me from prayer. And he put a message upon my heart to take to somebody. The message born. There was no way I could doubt that God was sending me. Why? The message had fire inside of it. As I declared it, the fire was released. The person broke down in repentance. And he wept for 3 days. Why? It burned in the heart of the messenger. Did not our heart burn? Now, that's a sign of spiritual health. If your heart has stopped burning, it means you are burning for something else. Did not what?
Did not our heart burn within us?
This is experiential. When next your heart burns, because the scripture is laid upon it, know that Jesus just came to you. When next it burns like a fire, as if a furnace was kindled, just know that Jesus, no other spirit does that. Obanje does not do that. Aleku does not do that. Amadioha, Shongo, that's not how he appears. But when Jesus comes, he causes the heart of men to burn. So that's where we get the message for the messenger of fire. It's a man that God has inflamed his heart through the scriptures. So when you're studying your Bible, that those scriptures that burn your heart, it means it has made you a messenger of fire. Your tongue can purify people. If you release those words that are bathed in fire, it can bring purification. Many times I preach, not because I'm preaching heaven, just preaching. And then people in the congregation begin to cry. I was preaching somewhere. There was a huge crowd. And I remember, I preached and I came to the left of the podium. And I stopped. Because I was directed to stop. And then one lady in the congregation, she stood up. She said, I am tired of seeing. When she said that, the whole congregation, tears broke out. People began to come for altar call. Without altar call, the service shifted. The message ended in the middle because the purifier of gold and silver was heating his furnace. The furnace was intense and people were weeping for sin. 20 minutes before that action took place, a minister of the gospel came there with suit. He came in like this. But when that fire began to burn, the flame. I saw him in the quietness of his seat when he brought to mind his trespasses. I saw him. The coat, the suit was did not matter anymore. There was a purifier of silver that was doing the work of purifying the sons of Levi, purging them like gold and silver. Only a man whose heart burns can be a messenger. Oh, fire. There's little fire today. There's a lot of academics on the pulpit, a lot of history, a lot of context, a lot of Hebrew and Greek, and no fire. No fire. Did not our hearts burn? Yes, go on. He manifests first as a judging lamb.
Why then, he talked with us, by the way.
Then the second thing. That he manifests as a revelator of truth. You see, there are times where he begins to, whenever you see the scriptures unraveling, not necessarily because you are studying, one scripture is connecting with another scripture, another one connecting, and then illumination is coming. Jesus just passed by you. Don't look for the spectacular, look for what? For the supernatural. He came as a revealer of truth, and he came as the judging lamps of the spirit. I'm going to stop here this evening. But when next your heart burns, when your heart burns, it means Jesus decided to not to continue the journey, decided to stop with you, to camp with you. He decided to come into your inn, come into your space. And what he left when he disappeared was fire upon the altar of your heart. Did not our hearts do what?
Burn.
Tonight, as you are leaving this place, the first contact of the year,
the sights and sounds of God for 2020. You are going to live with an altar of fire. Your heart will burn this night. That's how you go back to Abuja. You go back to Enugu with fire on your heart. An agent, a messenger of fire. The things controlling your vocal cord have their roots upon your heart. Your mouth is being coordinated from the burnings that ascend from your heart. Did not our heart burn? Our prayer tonight is simple, Jesus. We need a fresh encounter, a valid encounter, a strong encounter. We don't want to be told about you. We want to encounter you. Why not stop by our inn? Why not stop by our house? The evening has come. Why not stop and take prayer? Can you beckon on Jesus to come to your space? He will come. He will come with fire in his eyes. He will come with flames. He will come with burning. He will stand upon the altar of your heart, and the flames will burn. He will come. He will come today. He will come today. He will come today. Oh. Ah! Sia Kambelore Mama. Sia Sekomene Kantelia. Roske Sese Momone Keti Amandolo. Ah! Boke Prasketomina Asantore Kema Sakura Batua Lamanekadia.
Do you remember this song? Yeah, na 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 na. Yeah.